Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's gospel text finds Jesus back on the Jewish side of the Sea of Galilee, and we hear two miracle stories sandwiched together. The fact that Mark has them sandwiched together like this is a clear indication that he intends for us to use the two stories to interpret each other, or at least for us to look at them together, not separately. The story that provides the bread for the sandwich is the story of Jairus and his sick and eventually dead 12-year-old daughter. The filling is the story of a woman who has battled illness for 12 years. Think of it for a moment. For as long as that young girl has been alive, the poor woman has gone from doctor to doctor and probably tried dozens of home remedies as well, to no avail. The stories are a social contrast, to be sure. We have a young girl surrounded by loving family, with a somewhat prominent father eager to seek out Jesus' help for his precious girl. On the other hand, we have this woman who has to be in her 20s, if not older, probably unmarried because this bleeding disorder would have made her ritually unclean, so no man would have her. She would also have been considered ritually unclean by the community as a whole, which would have made her socially isolated even as she went from doctor to doctor. For all intents and purposes, she was probably alone in the world, with nobody to help her or to advocate for her. Jairus, on the other hand, was the leader of a synagogue, socially prominent, and we can assume financially secure. The woman, by this time, was impoverished, having spent whatever little she may have had in this futile quest for a cure. What may have shocked the crowd, if they stopped to think about it at all, was that Jesus treated them equally. In fact, you could interpret the story as Jesus giving precedent to the poor woman, because he interrupted his journey to the house of Jairus in order to engage with her. Obviously, both Jairus and the woman had heard enough about Jesus to believe that he could help them. There's no mention of doctors in the Jairus side of the story, so one wonders if he skipped the medical route entirely and simply sought out Jesus. Or maybe the doctors had already said, there's nothing more that we can do. On the other hand, the woman had already sought out every possible remedy that the medical system could offer, and nothing worked. She was broke and at the point of desperation. But they both believed that Jesus could address the needs that they had. Jairus was a socially prominent leader who had the confidence to approach Jesus directly. Not with arrogance or entitlement, mind you. We are told that he fell at Jesus' feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." He felt that death as imminent, and you can imagine him adding the words, "Please hurry!" And Jesus started off with him. The woman had no social standing and was probably a social outcast and shunned. In fact, the odds are that if anyone in the crowd knew her, they probably gave her a wide berth just to make sure that they weren't contaminated. The irony is that this could have been what made it possible for her to pass through the crowd and actually get to Jesus. I would imagine that everyone in that crowd wanted to be close to Jesus. But unlike Jairus, she didn't feel that she could approach Jesus directly. Maybe she was afraid that he would treat her just as the rest of the world did. But she believed that he had the power to heal. And she said to herself, if I just touch his clothes, I will be made well. And that is what happened. She could feel it immediately, but so could Jesus. I find this part of the story extremely interesting. Jesus knew that the healing power had gone out from him, and immediately he wanted to know who had touched him. Now, let's get real. Do you think Jesus already knew who touched him? Yeah, I think so. Yeah. But he asks, who touched me? And the crowd was understandably confused. Everyone was pressing around him. There were probably a dozen people who were touching him at any given time. But he was looking for the person who had touched him with intent, with the faith that in that touch she would be made well. Jesus did not want an anonymous healing. He wanted the woman to have a different kind of relationship with him. So he asks, who touched my clothes? And the woman knows that he means her. That he's not just responding to the kind of random jostling of the crowd that is happening. He is looking for her. She comes, we are told, with fear and trembling, not knowing what to expect. But what is amazing is that she comes forward at all. We're in the middle of a crowd. Having gotten what she came for, she could easily have slipped into the crowd and made her way home. But when Jesus asks, who touched my clothes? She knows that he is asking for her. And despite her nervousness, she feels compelled to respond to the invitation to identify herself. And there is something about Jesus that compels truth-telling. And so she tells the whole story. And because she is willing to come forward and tell the truth, she goes away that day with much more than a physical healing. Jesus calls her daughter, thus restoring her to her place in the household of Israel. She is implicitly commended for the faith with which she sought out Jesus. She is sent home with a blessing of peace, and her healing is affirmed. And she had a personal encounter with Jesus, who sought her out, saw her, and engaged with her. And even though the story never tells us her name, she goes away knowing that she is not anonymous to Jesus. There is a relationship there. So back to the story of Jairus and his daughter. She died. The messengers come and tell Jairus, it's too late. There's no point in bothering Jesus. But Jesus tells him to keep the faith and continues on the journey to Jairus' house, where the community mourning rituals are already in full swing. He is roundly ridiculed as he says, she's not dead, she's only asleep. The whole crowd has witnessed Jesus' encounter with the woman, but at Jairus' house, Jesus only allows three disciples and the child's parents into the room to witness the miracle. And what's more, having raised the little girl from the dead, he orders them not to tell anyone about it. I wonder if his earlier comment to the crowd, she's not dead, she's only asleep, was meant to sow the seeds of doubt about whether she had really died, so that this might be reported as a healing, not a resurrection. I really find myself wondering why the order to keep silent. And I have to tell you, I don't have a good answer. Maybe he didn't want the remainder of his ministry to be about people constantly clamoring for another resurrection. Maybe it was because he ultimately wanted the predominant resurrection story to be about his own eventual resurrection. I just don't know. But his more immediate concern was that the child be fed. Depending on how long she had been ill, she may have been extremely malnourished and hungry by now. Jesus tells the parents to feed their child, to take care of her needs. And never mind going out with a message or an announcement to the crowd. The gospel text for today affirms Jesus' power in the face of illness and even death. We are encouraged to turn to Jesus, to pray when we and those who we love are ill, and to trust that Jesus has power even over death. And pray we do. I am so grateful for the many in this parish who have taken as their special ministry the task of praying for people who have special needs. And even within our midst, we have heard stories of healing and restoration that, even if aided by the medical system, are clear signs of Jesus' healing presence among us. Today's gospel text is a good news story. But I find myself reluctant to preach of this healing power without at least touching on one of our greatest consternations when it comes to healing. Why are not all people healed? Why is it that sometimes the answer to our prayers for healing is a resounding no? I knew a woman some years ago who was what I would call a spiritual powerhouse in the church. She preached and taught with power and authority, and when she prayed, often extraordinary things would happen. And in her younger years, she had been miraculously healed of Crohn's disease. But at a certain point, she was diagnosed with ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. Frankly, in my view, one of the most brutally terrible diseases that one can end up with. The Christian community gathered around her and prayed and prayed and prayed. Surely, if anyone was going to be healed, it would be Eleanor, this extraordinary woman of God. But she wasn't. After several years of progressive suffering, she died. And the community mourned. But Eleanor would be the first to tell you that yes, we are called to pray for healing, but that not everyone is healed. And it's not because we didn't pray hard enough. And it's not because of some failing or secret sin in the life of the person. It's not because there wasn't enough faith. At the end of the day, we simply have to trust God, that even in the face of death, God's goodness abounds. That when God does allow death to happen, it is the ultimate healing and the doorway to eternal life. Today's gospel encourages us to go to Jesus with all of our needs, and we don't need to be sneaky about it. We can be bold. It doesn't matter who we are, rich or poor, powerful or nobodies. Jesus cares about our needs, and as the book of Hebrews encourages us, let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Amen.